Hello and welcome to Entertainment Weekly. I'm volunteer reader Diane Salisbury on Sun Sounds of Arizona, and every week I read from Entertainment Weekly's website, which is EW.com. I have a list for Thanksgiving. I have a couple other lists, so let's get started. Those are always fun to read, but I will lead with the must list. Wicked, a Kiernan Shipka-led rom-com, and Maybe Happy Ending, starring Darren Criss, top this week's must list. A hunky holiday reality series and a festive film inspired by Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce's love story round out our picks for the weekend. This is by the Entertainment Weekly staff. It won't be for everyone, but no one can argue that there's never been a film like Emilia Perez. The star's breakout lead actress, Carla Sofia Gascon, likely Best Supporting Actress nominee winner, Zoe Saldana, and Selena Gomez in yet another career-redefining role, grace the cover of Entertainment Weekly's latest awardist issue, diving into the making of director Jacques Audiard's musical drama. In other news, a quick PSA. If you're seeing Wicked this weekend, which you should, please don't sing in the theater. Save that for the sing-along version they're releasing at Christmas. That was Patrick Gomez, editor-in-chief. So first up on the must list, it is Wicked. Director John M. Chu's film adaptation of the iconic Broadway musical is flying off the handle and into everyone's hearts. Starring Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande, the film is a vivid homage to Hollywood musicals of the Golden Age, with powerful, swoon-worthy vocals balanced with a darker political plot of a mediocre man who gaslights all of Oz into believing he's all-powerful and ends up scapegoating the only woman who dares to stand up to him. Sounds eerily familiar. Finding Mr. Christmas. This delightful Hallmark Plus reality competition show features 10 hunks vying to land a leading role into a Christmas film, with challenges like untangling an 80-pound ball of lights and having to act and ice skate at the same time. Every episode is a gift. Sweethearts. Best friends Jamie, played by Kiernan Shipka, and Ben, played by Nico Hiraga, are college freshmen who make a pact to end their high school relationships on the same night. The Max rom-com offers a fresh take on the age-old question, can men and women just be friends? Maybe Happy Ending. Who could have guessed that Broadway's best-reviewed show of the season would feature two robots falling in love? Darren Criss and Helen J. Shen are irresistible in this South Korean import that blends humor and heart. Plug in and enjoy. And then we have Christmas in the Spotlight. Lifetime specializes in ripped-from-the-headlines thrillers, but what about ripped-from-the-headlines love story? Touching down Saturday, this TV movie takes inspiration from Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce's romance, but isn't the NFL-sanctioned one coming to Hallmark November 30th? With a bit of wacky and a whole lot of festivity. That's our must list for this week. Wicked, a Kiernan Shipka-led rom-com, and Maybe Happy Ending, starring Darren Criss, top this week's must list. And it was by the Entertainment Weekly staff. So Wicked is big. Let's get a load of this Wicked review. This musical adaptation hits the right notes, but lacks visual variety. This is by Christian Haloub. A lot happened in Oz before Dorothy dropped in. Wicked, an enchanting prequel story to The Wizard of Oz that reimagines the story from the perspective of its witches, finally lands on movie screens more than 20 years after Gregory Maguire's novel was adapted into one of the biggest Broadway hits of the 21st century, to the point that it's still playing there and many other stages around the country as you read this. If The Wizard of Oz is about the magic of childhood and how we look back on it as an adult, then Wicked is about the adolescence in between, making and losing friends, falling in love, and reckoning with the physical and mental traits that set you apart from those around you. Directed by John M. Chu from In the Heights, the new film adaptation stars Broadway veteran Cynthia Erivo as green-skinned Elphaba, named for the initials of The Wizard of Oz, author L. Frank Baum, who will one day be known as the Wicked Witch of the West, while pop star Ariana Grande plays Glinda, who will be eventually called Glinda the Good. This Wicked only covers the first half of Stephen Swartz's Broadway musical, but begins at the end, opening with Elphaba's death at the hands of a certain girl, and her little dog too, and then flashing back to detail the witch's upbringing and friendship with Glinda. They first met at Sheath University, Oz's equivalent of Hogwarts, where Glinda was the Regina George-esque popular girl, complete with sycophantic hangers-on, including Saturday Night Live star Bowen Yang, while Elphaba was scorned and outcast for her green skin. But Elphaba has something the rest of them lack. Real magic power, enough raw talent to catch the eye of Madame Morrible, played by recent Oscar winner Michelle Yeoh, who gets a movie star entrance and amazingly cool mystic robes worthy of the Arched Man from Ursula Le Guin's fantasy novels. Morrible believes that, under her tutelage, Elphaba could even be worthy of working with the wonderful Wizard of Oz, played by Jeff Goldblum, doing his thing. Erivo first made her name on Broadway in the Color Purple musical, where her rendition of I'm Here was known for generating literally show-stopping applause breaks. Wicked presents a new challenge because she's working in the shadow of Idina Menzel's iconic Broadway performance and pitch-perfect cast recording. Erivo works hard to make Mendel's iconic belters The Wizard and I and Defying Gravity her own, and for many young girls who will be seeing the story for the first time on the big screen, she will, but doesn't quite surpass Menzel's high bar. In fact, where Erivo most distinguishes herself is in her close-up acting. Broadway stars have to play to the back row, but Erivo uses minute facial expressions to channel Elphaba's sarcasm for the camera. She makes clear this character is not a cowering outcast, but rather a sensible young woman who has learned how to move through a world where everybody gawks at her appearance. Grande also excels at the scenes between the songs, which makes sense since this is far from her screen debut. She made a name for herself on Nickelodeon sitcoms years before her singing career took off. Bayed up in immaculate blonde hair and perfect pink couture, worthy of last year's blockbuster Barbie, Grande's Glinda struts around she's like she owns the place and is thus very unsettled by Elphaba's superiority with spells. But though Grande nails Glinda's aesthetic and attitude, she struggles a bit with the character's signature song. Defying Gravity is well known for its hard-to-hit high notes, to the point that singing it was once the entire focus of an early Glee episode. But Wicked's other most famous song, Popular, is difficult in a different way. As originally performed by Kristen Chenoweth, this ode to glam makeovers demands both a rat-a-tat rhythm and an ability to infuse every pronunciation with pure personality. Grande doesn't quite get there, and though Chu's choreography tries to compensate by having her flounce around in a fluffy robe, Popular receives the film's least memorable rendition. Dancing Through Life, on the other hand, is the adaptation's biggest musical accomplishment. Although Wicked is primarily about the relationship between these two women, the charming Prince Fiero always threatens to steal the show, and never more so now that Bridgerton heartthrob Jonathan Bailey is playing him in a dazzling blue and gold suit. Setting this song in a library full of rotating cylindrical shelves allows the dancers to really show off their moves, while Bailey succeeds at infusing the number with his personality as he flirts with men and women alike. Unless Wicked really hits big with the Academy, it's unlikely that Bailey will score a Best Supporting Actor nomination at the Oscars, but he surely deserves some honor for being the sexiest actor on Earth at the moment. Hope you're taking notes for next year, people. But there's more to the look of a musical movie than dancing and costumes. Chu and his collaborators built out Oz by mixing realistic sets with lots of CGI enhancements. But unfortunately, the result gets visually repetitive. There are only so many virtual talking animals and colorful munchkins that one can look at before they all blend into the same indistinguishable sheen. The internet should never have stopped mocking J.J. Abrams for his overuse of lens flares, because they're back in a big way in Wicked. This optic sameness is essentially disappointing because the original Wizard of Oz's contrast between sepia-toned Kansas and Technicolor Oz remains one of cinema's most powerful magic tricks. Wicked's story wouldn't allow for the same exact transition since Elphaba is an Oz resident from birth instead of traveling from another world, and there's nothing like it in the musical. Still, it's the task of a good adaptation to use a new medium to elevate the material further. The other hope of a new telling of an old story is that it will strike a chord with the current cultural zeitgeist. In that regard, the political allegory at the heart of Wicked feels well-timed in the wake of Donald Trump's recent re-election. This is essentially a story of political radicalization, with Elphaba eventually realizing that the powers that be want to use her power to further their system of oppression, led by a con man. The second half of the musical, which delves even deeper into underground resistance, will hit theaters next year when Trump is in office again and might really resonate with how many viewers are feeling. That's just speculation at this point, though. For now, like Denis Villeneuve's first Dune, this Wicked manages to end on a note of to be continued, while still feeling like a complete story. If only its imagery had a little more magic. That was Wicked Review. This musical adaptation hits the right notes, but lacks visual variety. It was by Christian Huloub, who is giving the movie a grade of B. As a sidebar article, I have Lamorne Morris responds to his viral Wicked moment from New Girl, "I'm not doing a remake." This is by Wesley Stenzel. Stop asking Lamorne Morris to try defying gravity. The Fargo actor who played the fan favorite ex-basketball player Winston Bishop, also known as Winnie the Bish on New Girl, responded to a clip of himself belting Defying Gravity and Popular on the sitcom that has gone viral as Wicked hits the theaters. "No, I'm not doing a remake," he wrote as he reposted the clip to his Instagram story on Friday. The clip comes from season one episode Fancy Man Part 2, wherein Schmidt, played by Max Greenfield, and Cece, played by Hannah Simone, attempt to spice up their sex life by doing the deed in the back of Schmidt's car, only for Winston to spontaneously borrow the car while they're still naked in the trunk. Schmidt refuses to reveal himself to Winston and expose his secret relationship with Cece in the process, so the couple is trapped in the back of the car for a long drive, resigned to total silence as Winston jams out to Idina Menzel and Kristen Chenoweth because he thinks he's alone. New Girl fans have reshared the scene to the point of virality in anticipation of Wicked's release, a full 21 years after its Broadway debut and 12 years after the New Girl episode immortalized Morris's piercing falsetto. "Once you hear Winston shrink, popular, lar, you can never unhear it." Numerous postings echoing Winston's enthusiasm for the musical have gained millions of views on TikTok, with some users saying that they're not seeing Wicked for the actual stars of the movie, but for him instead, him being Winston, of course. The official New Girl TikTok account posted its own version of the clip on Friday with the caption of, "Going to tell my kids this was Wicked." Morris recently got to show off his pipes again in the Saturday Night Live biopic Saturday Night, where he sang the ridiculous song Kill All the Whiteys as SNL cast member Garrett Morris. It was no ADR, no studio stuff, he told Entertainment Weekly. When Jason Reitman said he wanted it to be a longer moment, I was just like, oh, we're going to try this? Can I call my vocal coach? I got to go back to LA and workshop this. Give me a second. Give me 8 days, Jason. I'll be right back. But yeah, it seemed to work out. Jason trusted us just to be loose, and we trusted he was going to handle the rest, and that's what he did. The Emmy winner said he was incredibly nervous to sing live in front of his peers. It was a very frightening day for me because I didn't know how it was going to be received, he said. But I'm grateful that this cast was a very tight group. We all cheered each other on, and so you had everybody there watching. Wicked is now playing in theaters. Saturday Night is available to rent on all digital platforms. That was Lamorne Morris' response to his viral Wicked moment from New Girl, I'm not doing a remake, and it was by Wesley Stenzel. Also from the movie section, we have The Conjuring stars. They marked their last day filming. Our fake marriage lasted longer than many real ones. This is by Nick Romano. Here's to one of the realest fake marriages out there. The Conjuring's two lead stars, Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga, are getting sentimental about their on-screen relationship as they close up shop filming The Conjuring Last Rites, their last movie together in the franchise. Wilson, in particular, noted how their fake marriage has lasted longer than many real ones. As the sun sets on The Conjuring franchise, I am overwhelmed, Wilson, who plays Ed Warren, a renowned demonologist, alongside his clairvoyant wife Lorraine, played by Farmiga, wrote in an Instagram post published on Friday. There aren't enough thanks to go around for the thousands of people who've contributed to the making of these films, and the millions who've watched them. To his on-screen ball and chain Farmiga, what to say, he continued. Our fake marriage has lasted longer than many real ones. I adore you. He also paid tribute to filmmaker Michael Chavez, who directed previous franchise installments, The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It from 2021, and The Nun 2 from 2023, and now helms Last Rites coming to theaters next year. He also directed The Curse of La Llorona, but as Chavez previously explained to Entertainment Weekly, it's not technically part of the Conjuring verse. You have beautifully taken the reins, and I can't wait to see this one put together, Wilson wrote, in addition to calling out other key figures like the franchise architects James Wan and Peter Safran. On Thursday, Farmiga shared a framed wedding photo of Ed and Lorraine to Instagram. Round about 5,000 days ago, this guy and I signed a WB contract and said, I do, to embodying Ed and Lorraine Warren. Today he raps. I have another 12 hours of laughter and insanity with him, and then abruptly he will walk off set, peel off sweat-soaked demonologist garb, shave off his sideburns, flash that dazzling smile, and bid our fake marriage adieu, she wrote. Yeah, I got them feels today. It feels like a match was made in heaven, P. Wills. A hell of an era. Here's to 12 years. Wilson and Farmiga first appeared as the characters in 2013's The Conjuring, directed by Wan, and that film became so successful it erupted into an Avengers-like cinematic horror universe with a global following. That includes standalone Annabelle movies about the creepy doll from that first entry, as well as two The Nun films starring Farmiga's sister Thaisa as Sister Irene. Plot details about The Conjuring, The Last Rites, are being kept under wraps for the most part, but Chavez previously confirmed to Entertainment Weekly that the post-credits scene of The Nun 2, which saw Ed and Lorraine receiving a call about a possessed priest, Father Gordon, played by Steve Coulter, will lead directly into the events of Wilson and Farmiga's last film. this is going to be that final chapter, so it is a little bit of a tease of that, Chavez says in an interview conducted last year. I think what makes this film so cool, makes The Nun so cool, is that from the very beginning, the possession of Maurice was one of these center point elements in the Conjuring universe, the director added. It was in the first Conjuring. It's definitely a pivotal event in the entire universe. Responding to the comments section of Wilson's Instagram post, Wen wrote in commemoration of his actors, "The characters that you and Vera have breathed life into will endure forever. Not every day we get to create this kind of cinematic legacy. Thank you, buddy, forever indebted to you. Though Connery taught us to never say never." That was The Conjuring star's Mark last day filming final movie. Our fake marriage lasted longer than many real ones. Jumping over to the TV section, the first Suits LA teaser trailer delivers major nostalgia for original series. This is an Entertainment Weekly exclusive, and it's by Sydney Buxbaum. The world wanted more Suits, and that's exactly what it's getting with Suits LA. Entertainment Weekly is exclusively debuting the first teaser trailer for NBC's highly anticipated Suits spinoff, and the new footage delivers major nostalgia for the original series. And that's not just because it uses the theme song, Greenback Boogie. While the teaser is short, it's definitely sweet, as stars Stephen Amell, Josh McDermott, and Lex Scott Davis strut around gorgeous Los Angeles locations, closing deals in expertly tailored suits. And aside from the sun, palm trees, and beautiful sweeping views of the city, it's like we're right back at Pearson Spector with all our favorite Suits characters. Suits LA is written and executive produced by Suits creator Aaron Korsh and follows Ted Black, played by Arrow alum Amell, a former federal prosecutor from New York who has reinvented himself. He now represents the most powerful clients in Los Angeles after joining forces 15 years ago with his old friend Stuart Lane, played by McDermott, to build a law firm that specializes in criminal and entertainment law. But now his firm is at a crisis point, and in order to survive, he must embrace a role he held in contempt his entire career. The series also stars Brian Greenberg, Troy Winbush, and Alice Lee. There's an exclusive first teaser trailer linked to this article in EW.com. Original Suits stars Gabriel Macht, who played Harvey Specter for all 9 seasons, teased his return to the Suits-verse on Wednesday. The actor shared an Instagram video that seemingly revealed that Harvey would appear on Suits LA. Set to the original Suits theme song, Macht showed off Harvey's monogrammed shirt sleeve before stepping into designer shoes. He captioned the post, "When an old friend is in need, it's time to take care of things and make those very things right." Representatives for Suits LA and Macht did not immediately respond to Entertainment Weekly's request for comment. However, Deadline reports that Macht is set to reprise his role as part of a 3-episode guest arc on the show. Amell seemingly confirmed Macht's appearance on the spinoff by commenting on the Instagram post, "The bat signal does work." The original Suits starred Patrick J. Adams as a con man turned lawyer, Mike Ross, who became the youngest protege to Macht's legal shark Harvey Specter at a top NYC firm. The USA Network drama ran from 2011 to 2019 and also starred Gina Torres, Sarah Rafferty, Rick Hoffman, and Meghan Markle before she married Prince Harry and became the Duchess of Sussex. The series recently enjoyed a viral resurgence in 2023 when the first 8 seasons became available to stream on Netflix, the 9th and final season, as well as short-lived spin-off Pearson, is only available on Peacock. Where it unexpectedly broke streaming records and topped Nielsen's streaming charts for months on end. As a result, the cast recently reunited on stage at the 2024 Golden Globes. Suits LA premieres February 23rd at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time on NBC. That was First Suits LA teaser trailer delivers major nostalgia for original series. This is exclusive to Entertainment Weekly, and it was by Sydney Buxbaum. I may be a couple minutes early here, but I'll take a moment to say that you are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is Entertainment Weekly, and I am reading from their website, EW.com. Thanksgiving is around the corner, so here are the 15 best Thanksgiving movies to feast on this holiday season. These are the essential films to watch to gear up for your annual Turkey Day dinner. This is by Gwynne Innitt and Kevin Jacobson. Thanksgiving movies are few and far between compared to the holidays it's sandwiched between, Halloween and Christmas. Perhaps it's because dinner with extended family invites stress more than trick-or-treating or opening presents under the tree. But maybe its status as a uniquely American holiday, one rooted in colonialism no less, prevents it from resonating with worldwide audiences. Still, we've found a selection of Thanksgiving movies, or at least Thanksgiving-adjacent movies, worth gobbling up along with your turkey and sides. The first movie, and I'm sure these are in alphabetical order, is Addams Family Values from 1993. Addams Family Values is one of the rare, wholly successful sequels. In fact, Entertainment Weekly's critic calls it wittier and more consistent than the first Addams Family movie. It's much better at getting the Addamses out into the straight world, where they can really do some damage. The film mostly focuses on new and mustached baby Pubert Adams and his duplicitous nanny, Debbie, played by a fiendish Joan Cusack, who sets her gold-digging sights on Uncle Fester, played by Christopher Lloyd. Debbie also suggests carding Adams' offspring Wednesday, played by Christina Ricci, and Pugsley, played by Jimmy Workman, off to a horrifyingly sunny camp, which fortunately includes an off-season play of the first Thanksgiving, dubbed A Turkey Named Brotherhood, and scripted by an overly enthused camp director, Gary, played by Peter McNichol. Cast as Pocahontas, Wednesday uses the play to enact a terrific revenge on not just the up-with-people-esque campers, but the pilgrims themselves. We can watch Addams Family Values on Paramount+. Day Trippers from 1996. The Day Trippers technically kicks off on the day after Thanksgiving, but it still underlies the importance of the season. When Eliza, played by Hope Davis, finds a mysterious love note to her husband, played by Stanley Tucci, her entire family, mom, played by Ann Mira, dad, played by Pat McNamara, sister, played by Parker Posey, and the sister's scene-stealing boyfriend, played by Liev Schreiber, accompanies her from Long Island into Manhattan as they try to track him down and uncover the mystery. Her partner has his own secrets to reveal, but what Eliza eventually realizes is that her family is willing to go the extra mile, all the way into the city, for her, and will always have her back. Entertainment Weekly's critic points out, movies that make a point of insisting that families are big, loud, crazy, intrusive, necessary things tend to be as obnoxious as the bickering clans they're about. But writer-director Greg Mottola from Superbad has a lighter, warmer touch. We can watch The Day Trippers on Max. Fantastic Mr. Fox from 2009. Frankly, most of Wes Anderson's creations seem perfectly autumnal. Even the characters in Fantastic Mr. Fox sport the seasonal palette, and the movie's focus on securing the ideal poultry meal makes it a good fit for the Thanksgiving holiday. The fantastic title character, played by George Clooney, has promised his wife, played by Meryl Streep, that he will give up his profession of squab thievery now that they have a family. But old habits soon die hard as a domesticated Mr. Fox longs to return to his life of adventure and daring. This leads to a series of Ocean's 11-worthy capers in a land of woodland creatures, as well as a surprising need for adaptability in an ever-changing landscape. The incredible detail of Anderson's stop-motion animation gets more astounding in every scene. The leaves, the fur, Mrs. Fox's paintings. As the film advises how silly and fruitless it is to deny your true nature, we can watch Fantastic Mr. Fox on Disney Plus. Hannah and Her Sisters is from 1986. While not all of Woody Allen's Hannah and Her Sisters takes place during the holidays, the movie rests on three pivotal scenes across three pertinent Thanksgivings. In the opening dinner scene, we're introduced to Hannah, played by Mia Farrow, and her boisterous, overflowing family, including staid husband Elliot, played by Michael Caine, who won an Oscar for this performance, troubled middle sister Holly, played by Diane Wiest, another Oscar winner, and charismatic younger sister Lee, played by Barbara Hershey. By the time the second Thanksgiving rolls around, Lee and Elliot have embarked on an affair, while Hannah's ex-husband Mickey, played by Allen, fights a health scare, and Holly continues to struggle in her acting career. The three elaborate, with staff, Manhattan family dinners ground the sprawling family narrative so that, of course, by the third Thanksgiving, everything is finally set as it should be. We can watch Hannah and Her Sisters on Tubi. The House of Yes from 1997. Another entry in the Thank God This Isn't My Family category, The House of Yes is a gloomy, fascinating look at the darkest holiday gathering you can imagine. Based on a stage play, as well as Edgar Allan Poe's The Fall of the House of Usher, The House of Yes follows Marty, played by Josh Hamilton, a man who foolishly decides to bring his new fiancée, Leslie, played by a hapless Tori Spelling, home to his beyond creepy family, with his strange mother, played by Genevieve Bujold, detached younger brother, played by Freddie Prinze Jr., and too close twin sister, played by Parker Posey. While the literal opposite of cozy, swerving decidedly into unnerving, House of Yes is worth watching just for Posey's performance as Marty's Jackie Kennedy-obsessed twin. As Entertainment Weekly's critic put it, Parker Posey, with her camp, aristocratic auteur, may never have a role that suits her as well as Jackie O. We can watch The House of Yes on Pluto TV. Home for the Holidays from 1995. What is Thanksgiving without a family reunion that's messier than the kitchen after dinner? Jodie Foster stepped behind the camera to direct this holiday favorite, which tells the story of a harried single mother named Claudia, played by Holly Hunter, who is fired from her job and returns to her hometown for Thanksgiving. Awaiting her are her gay brother Tommy, played by Robert Downey Jr., conservative sister Joanne, played by Cynthia Stevenson, aging parents, played by Anne Bancroft and Charles Durning, and an eccentric Aunt Gladys, played by Geraldine Chaplin. Naturally, there's plenty of dysfunction as confessions are made, a turkey is flung across the table, a football game leads to a fistfight, and Claudia tries to maintain her sanity. Home for the Holidays may not be revolutionary, but there's a coziness in the chaos that rings true. We can watch Home for the Holidays on Pluto TV. The Ice Storm is from 1997. This icy cold, in more ways than one, Ang Lee period piece perfectly depicts the disassociation and isolation inherent in 1970s affluent suburbia, in this case, New Canaan, Connecticut. The Ice Storm follows two families, the Hoods, played by Kevin Klein, Joan Allen, and Tobey Maguire, and Christina Ricci, and the Carvers, played by Jamie Sheridan, Sigourney Weaver, Elijah Wood, and Adam Han Bird, as they both attempt connection over the long Thanksgiving weekend, but are doing so in all the wrong ways. As Entertainment Weekly's critic describes, in Ang Lee's somberly seductive version of the Rick Moody novel, the old wasp alienation is dressed up in a fantastic recreation of the funky Formica 70s, Watergate and porno chic, Frank Zappa, bongs, and wife-swapping key parties. But the legendary key party scene only scrapes the surface, and the film's blue-gray moodiness is downright enveloping, not to mention its brutally honest depiction of family ties. We can watch The Ice Storm on Amazon Prime Video to rent. Krisha, from 2015. No matter how tense your Thanksgiving gets, short of bloodshed, there's no way it can be as terrifying as Krisha, a fascinating character study that turns the holiday into a horror movie. The title character, that's spelled K-R-I-S-H-A, played by Krisha Fairchild, is a 60-something woman who is returning to celebrate and cook Thanksgiving dinner with her family after several estranged years. But, as the jarring score is quick to inform you, something is very wrong with this picture. Filmmaker Trey Edward Schultz created the A24 festival darling in 9 days on a shoestring budget, casting his own aunt as Krisha and his mom as Krisha's sister, while he plays Krisha's continually let-down son. The result is an improvisational feel so lifelike it resembles cinema verite, the emotions unflinchingly raw as everyone has their guard up around Krisha, and we're soon as heartbroken as they are when we find out why. We can watch Krisha on Amazon Prime Video to rent. Here's one that seems a little happier, Miracle on 34th Street from 1947. Yes, we know, Miracle on 34th Street is technically a Christmas movie, but you can also think of this timeless classic as the bridge between the two holidays. After all, it begins with Susan, played by a young Natalie Wood, watching the Thanksgiving Day parade out her window. But the Macy's Santa turns out to have a drinking problem, leading to the hiring of Chris, played by Edmund Gwenn in an Oscar-winning role, who may or may not be the real Santa. This delightful throwback, black and white version only please, is an excellent segue into the full-on holiday season and still makes believing in Santa seem like the only logical choice. You might even get fired up enough to be able to take on Black Friday. We can watch Miracle on 34th Street on Disney+. Pieces of April from 2003. So many of us can relate to April, played by Katie Holmes, as she tries hard to make the perfect holiday meal against all possible odds. The black sheep's main hurdle is her claustrophobically small New York apartment, complete with broken oven, as she attempts to pull off Thanksgiving dinner for her estranged family, including her terminally ill mother, played by Patricia Clarkson, driving in from Pennsylvania. Pieces of April floats back and forth between April's frantic meal preparations. Hey, some people actually do like box stuffing and cranberry from a can. As she reaches out to her new neighbors for help, forming a new clan of sorts, and her family's tense commute, complete with roadkill. Entertainment Weekly's critic especially praises Clarkson as April's mom with an Oscar-nominated, exuberantly hostile performance as Joy Burns, who isn't just wisecracking through her breast cancer therapy. She's laughing, tearful yet open-eyed, at the grave. We can watch Pieces of April on Tubi. Now here's a classic, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles from 1987. Forget all the teen angst. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles may just be John Hughes's greatest film. The unmatched pairing of odd couple Steve Martin and John Candy as stranded travelers forced to use various types of transportation in an attempt to get home for Thanksgiving is not only straight up hilarious, those aren't pillows, but also delivers the true meaning of the holiday. It isn't about the food or even the family, but rather the real human connection with the family you make. The frequent one-liner bits are gut-bustingly funny, and the chemistry between Martin and Candy here is unparalleled. Martin plays an expert straight man role, while Candy has never been better as a bear-hugging, ultra-lovable foil. but it's Hughes' tear-jerking twist at the end of the movie that skyrockets Planes, Trains, and Automobiles to the top of our list, making it a must-watch every year. We can watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles on Paramount+. Rocky from 1976 is on this list. Despite being one of the definitive sports films, Rocky also works as a small-scale character drama with a color palette tailor-made for fall. Sylvester Stallone, who also wrote the film, cemented his screen persona here as the titular underdog boxer who is counted out time and time again, only to prove his worth in a match against the world heavyweight champion. We get to know Rocky through his relationship with Adrienne, played by Talia Shire, a shy young woman who slowly comes out of her shell. While attending a Thanksgiving dinner at her brother Polly's house, Rocky sees Adrienne's difficult home life as the turkey is tossed out and she agrees to go out on a date. The rest is history, as something beautiful emerges from the chaos. We can watch Rocky on Amazon Prime Video to rent. She's Gotta Have It is from 1986. Spike Lee's very first feature is a performance-forward, low-budget indie that focuses on the exuberant Nola Darling, played by Tracy Camilla Johns, and the three men in her life, Jamie, played by Tommy Redmond Hicks, Greer, played by John Canada Terrell, and Mars, played by Lee. In an effort to keep everything open and even out the playing field, Nola invites all three men to Thanksgiving dinner, the first one she's ever cooked. It's an engaging scene, seeing calm Jamie, arrogant Greer, and extroverted Mars all play off one another, while Nola is clearly in charge of the situation. In 1986, seeing an unapologetically sexual, non-monogamous woman on screen was much more revolutionary than it should have been, and it's gratifying to see the three men all vie for her affections as she commands the head of the table. No wonder Lee revisited the concept for a, sadly, short-lived Netflix series. We can watch She's Gotta Have It on Netflix. Soul Food is from 1997. There may be no other movie that depicts the importance of family dinner like Soul Food. As Entertainment Weekly's critic puts it, the steaming platters of fried catfish, macaroni and cheese, sweet cornbread, and black-eyed peas that appear early and often in writer-director George Tillman Jr.'s sentimental family drama Soul Food should be listed in the credits as co-stars. And in the words of matriarch Josephine, played by Irma P. Hall, soul food cooking is about cooking from the heart. As the movie kicks off, young narrator Ahmed, played by Brandon Hammond, explains how the family is so close-knit because of their weekly Sunday dinners, which started out as post-church get-togethers that cemented into a family tradition. But even in the world of soul food, Thanksgiving is the undisputed champ of family meals, as an early appearance of the overflowing holiday table underlines the family's good fortune and how lucky they are to have each other. Ahmed notes, "Those were the good days, all right," and wisely realizes that their meals are the key to keeping the family, including Vanessa Williams, Vivica A. Fox, and Nia Long, as frequently warring sisters, together. We can watch Soul Food on Peacock. Our last movie is Thanksgiving from 2023. Every single holiday had a horror movie attached to it except Thanksgiving. So our dream was to make a slasher film around Thanksgiving, Eli Roth told Entertainment Weekly about his and screenwriter Jeff Rendell's vision for this gruesome feature. The well-reviewed slasher sees a John Carver mask-wearing murderer terrorize Plymouth, Massachusetts, targeting those involved in a deadly Black Friday riot the year prior. Naturally, your mileage may vary depending on your tolerance for gore, but the over-the-top appeal of Thanksgiving is how the serial killer creatively disposes of his victims, including one scene in which someone is served as a Turkey Day feast. We could watch Thanksgiving on Netflix. I don't know if that was the last movie to really end it on. Those were the 15 best Thanksgiving movies to feast on this holiday season. It was by Gwen Innett and Kevin Jacobson. And for your post-Thanksgiving meal and some of your shopping, here is EW's 2024 Pop Culture Holiday Gift Guide. Tis the season to be shopping. This is by the Entertainment Weekly staff. Shopping for loved ones shouldn't be stressful, but it can be one of the least wonderful things about the holidays. That's why Entertainment Weekly has compiled our annual wish list to help you find the perfect present for the pop culture savvy peeps in your life, or yourself. Check out the gift suggestions, which feature a mix of fun products and price points. There are 28 on this list here. Big Brother Janky World Hat. The junior artificial intelligence entity known as Janky may have tortured the Big Brother season 26 house guests with nonstop sing-alongs, dance parties, pizza, and ice cream, but you will be the head of your household in this new official swag from the summer reality staple. We can buy it for $30 at the ParamountShop.com, ParamountShop.com. Our second item is the Wicked Bluetooth Karaoke Microphone. Kids and adults alike will love this pink and green karaoke microphone that includes a snippet of Wicked star Cynthia Erivo belting out Defying Gravity. The wireless mic, which runs on three AA batteries, easily connects to any Bluetooth device, not included, so you can stream and sing along to your favorite tunes while the LED lights flash along to the music through the built-in speaker. And there's even an echo effect you can turn on and off. It's wicked good fun. It's available for $20 at Target.com. Heretics Nosferatu Eau de Macabre. Ahead of Nosferatu's highly anticipated December 25th release, Heretic teamed up with Focus Features to create a limited edition fragrance inspired by the iconic vampire that features notes of petrichor, wilting lilacs, and ambergris, resulting in an otherworldly scent that, according to Heretic's website, smells like an encounter with an apparition in the cold, damp caves of Count Orlok's castle. We can purchase it for $125 at HereticParfum.com, HERETICPARFUM.com. Next, we have the 8-inch Jolene Dolly Parton skillet. Couldn't everyone use a little more Dolly in their life? This cute pre-seasoned cast iron skillet, made in Tennessee just like Dolly, hits all the right notes, putting a fun twist on the country legend's classic song, Jolene, Please Don't Take My Pan. We can buy it for $25 at LodgeCastIron.com, LodgeCastIron.com. The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City Receipts Wine Tumbler. Bravo-holics will get a kick out of this 12-ounce stainless steel tumbler stamped with the iconic line Real Housewives of Salt Lake City's Heather delivered during the season 4 finale after she revealed to her castmates that Monica was partially behind the Reality Von T's Instagram account that had been spreading gossip about the cast since Real Housewives of Salt Lake City first began. And she has the receipts, proof, timeline, and screenshots to prove it. Never leave home without them. That's $32 at shopbybravo.com. Love is Blind Golden Goblet. Of course, the Love is Blind fan in your life might prefer this drinking vessel. Whether they root for every couple to get married or just tune in to see the drama unfold, the iconic gold wine goblets seen on the show will make them feel like they're in the pods themselves, without having to date walking red flags. That's available for $31 on Netflix.com. Aveline Après Ski 2024 Holiday Collection. Did someone say wine? Celebrate the season with this delicious assortment from Aveline, the organic wine brand started by Cameron Diaz and her best friend, Catherine Power, that will make you feel like you're in the Alps. The collection of special sips includes 2 bottles of Prosecco, 2 bottles of Riesling, 2 bottles of Beaujolais, 2 bottles of Grenache, and 2 bottles of Syrah. We can buy it for $260 at Drink Aveline, that's DrinkAvaline.com, and you can get 20% off from Friday, November 29th to Monday, December 2nd. Squishmallows Beetlejuice Sandworm 8-inch Little Plush. Whoa, sandworms. You hate them, right? Beetlejuice fans definitely won't hate cuddling up with this adorable squishmallow, complete with a fin and tail. It's available for $13 at Walmart.com. Star Wars Studio Pro Scent Diffuser. Be transported to a galaxy far, far away with a Star Wars-themed Studio Pro Scent Diffuser that comes in 3 styles, a gold C-3PO design, the bold Darth Vader, or a black and white Stormtrooper. They're guaranteed to make your living or workspace up to 600 square feet smell out of this world. And please note, Star Wars-themed fragrance oils such as Rebel Spirit and Galactic Hope are sold separately. On sale for $149.95 at hotelcollection.com. 500 Essential Pop Punk Albums Slipcased Limited Edition. There's nothing more emo than giving a pop punk fan the perfect holiday gift, and 500 Essential Pop Punk Albums from Blondie to Blink-182 Anthology Coffee Table Book will make them cry tears of joy, or just regular tears, as they read about the history of their favorite genre. And for those who want to get even more emo, 500 Essential Emo Albums from Jimmy Eat World to My Chemical Romance is the perfect companion book. You'll have to wait a little longer since it comes out January 28th, but it's available for pre-order now. Those are available for $40 each at ruffianbooks.com, RuffianBooks.com. Andrew Garfield, We Live in Kitchen Timer. Tick-tock! Every second counts with this kitschy timer inspired by We Live in Time, adorned with Andrew Garfield's adorable face. You can buy it or join the waitlist for $20 at shop.a24films.com. We Live in Time Carousel Tea. If you're waiting for A24 to restock that timer, consider this amazing t-shirt featuring the goofy-looking carousel horse that went viral after it stole the spotlight from We Live in Time stars Andrew Garfield and Florence Pugh in a romantic promo shot for the movie. Never forget. That's available for $40 at shop.a24films.com. Number 13 on our list is Amazon Echo Dot Bundle Limited Edition Disney Jack Skellington Shell. Well, 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 what have we here? If you don't already own an Echo Dot, which is a smart speaker that allows you to listen to your favorite tunes, podcasts, and more throughout your home, as well as control compatible smart home devices, now's your chance to get in on the action. But what makes this 5th-gen Echo Dot special is the Nightmare Before Christmas-themed shell, which comes packaged in a coffin-shaped box, featuring the Pumpkin King himself. We can buy it for $90 for the bundle at Amazon.com, or $40 for the standalone Jack Skellington shell at Amazon.com. Spy Octane, The Vehicles of James Bond, Volume 2. James Bond and car enthusiasts alike will appreciate this book that marks the 60th anniversary of Goldfinger and takes an in-depth look at all the vehicles featured in the Bond films of the 1960s, including the Autogyro, Little Nelly, the Toyota 2000 GT convertible, the Moon Buggy, and the iconic Aston Martin DB5, which was once described as the most famous car in the world. Written by acclaimed Bond historians Matthew Field and Ajay Chowdhury, this first in a series of 3 volumes features over 800 never-before-seen photos and will be ready to ship in time for the holidays. We can pre-order it for $128 at porterpress.co.uk. That's porterpress.co.uk. Number 15 on this list is Poison Ivy Barbie. Fans and collectors will be captivated by this Barbie doll released in celebration of Batman's 85th anniversary with DC, featuring green skin, fiery red tresses, and toxic red lips. Poison Ivy even comes armed with a Venus flytrap and bow and arrow. Nature's fiercest defender is ready to take over Gotham City. We can buy this for $55 at Amazon.com. Peggy Lee Jewelry. Surprise your stylish friends with a piece of jewelry from San Francisco-based designer Peggy Lee, like this pair of sleek, slim oval earrings worn by Cynthia Nixon's Miranda on And Just Like That, or this bold evil eye necklace worn by Linda Cardellini's Judy on Dead to Me, or these plush pearl earrings worn by Marcia Gay Harden's Margaret on So Help Me Todd. Lee's pretty creations are popular with Hollywood costume designers and have been seen on many TV shows and Hallmark movies over the years, including Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Riverdale, The Vampire Diaries, Virgin River, and The Bachelorette, to name a few. The range of what they've discussed here is from $15 to $300 at peggylee.com. That's PEGGYLI.com. The Hirschfield Broadway Tarot Deck and Guidebook. Name any fandom out there, and there's probably a themed tarot deck available, but this Broadway-themed deck is deserving of some jazz hands. Using the art of renowned artist Al Hirschfield, the tarot deck recasts famous characters, icons, and more as the tarot symbols. Think West Side Story's Tony and Maria as the lovers, Sweeney Todd as the devil, and Annie's Daddy Warbucks as the king of coins. The deck also comes with a handy guidebook that provides both the history behind the Broadway figures featured on the cards and possible ways to interpret the reading. No matter what cards you're dealt, we have a feeling there's some theater in your future. Those are available for $24 on Amazon.com. And this is where I'm going to have to leave us for our list. I can't believe I didn't get through it. I was really planning on it, but I will get to the last 10 next week. That was Entertainment Weekly's 2024 Pop Culture Holiday Gift Guide, or a good portion of it, and it was by the Entertainment Weekly staff. So you know what I'm going to say next is that we've ended the time we have available for Entertainment Weekly this week. Thank you all for listening. I'm volunteer reader Diane Salisbury for Sun Sounds of Arizona. Come back next week where I'll finish the Holiday Gift Guide, and we'll listen to what else I've found. Until then, goodbye.